I want to let you know, number one, God bless you. It's such a pleasure and a privilege to be with you this morning. And I got to say, Frank, it was great to chat with you and to hear about your missions trip. And that was what you were talking about, the plane flight thing. Oh, may God be praised that everything worked out and you got back okay. And I want to let you know that what Frank was doing there, and where was this, Frank?
Toma.
And what? And where is that?
It's in the South Pacific. If you draw a line from Auckland, New Zealand, to Honolulu, Hawaii, it's on that line in between the two countries.
Far out. God bless you. I want to let you know that what Frank was doing, missionaries describe, just paying a little visit to encourage and support, missionaries describe as the number one care event that keeps them going. It's big. There's really a crisis right now. And it's a crisis with missionaries as well as pastors. They're falling like flies a little bit. So missionary organizations are ramping up the kind of ministry that you guys extended to those guys. And that, by God's grace, Joanne and I, my wife and I, are being called to in the future as well. So God bless you. Pleasure to meet you. And again, it's just such a pleasure to be here at Parkman Congregational Church again, and have heard much about this church. Jake Wagner is really my mentor and my pastor. And by God's grace, that's the prayer meeting that Will alluded to where he and I met. Jake wasn't at that particular prayer meeting. Lord willing, we'll be at Jake's house for our August prayer meeting. But Jake is the one that started that prayer meeting many years ago. So God bless you. It's great to be here with you this morning. Let me read a passage from the Bible and offer a word. Far out. Here it is. This is from 2 Kings. Chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. And the context here is the king of Aram is attacking Israel. And God has used Elisha to guide Israel, protecting them from the king of Aram. And the king of Aram is really upset about this. So he's out to get Elisha. And he sent an army to capture Elisha and Elisha's servant. And this is what happens in the morning. So, you know, it's like an army surrounding Parkman here, and they're after Will. And Sam wakes up and sees the army and goes, "My goodness." Okay, that's the context of this passage. So let's just read this segment here and see what happens. When the servant of the man of God, when the servant of Elisha, got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. This is not good. "Oh, my Lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid." Have you ever felt fear? The servant of Elisha was experiencing fear. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And then verse 17. And Elisha prayed. Ooh, we're going to get to that. In this situation, what did Elisha do? He prayed. "O Lord, open his eyes so he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Oh. And so, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you are here. Open our eyes also in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before I go any further, I got to tell you about the dream I had last night. And Will, you were in it. By the way, what a pleasure to meet you and Lydia and whatnot this morning for the first time for me. Yeah, I had a dream last night, and heaven forbid, Heaven is good. So the Lord took me from this life and I come to St. Peter. And so here's the moment, a moment of joy, the most wonderful moment for a believer is seeing him face to face. But there I am at St. Peter, the pearly gates, ready to check things out before, by God's grace, I'm admitted into heaven. And I say, "Hi, St. Pete, how are things?" And he said, "Well, we're still checking out some of the paperwork here, so if you just care to wait a minute, I'll be right with you, Dave." So I said, "Okay, thanks." So there's this wall of all these clocks stretching, oh, such a far way down. So I got a little time, so I start, you know, sort of walking along and checking out the wall and all the clocks. And every clock has a name under it. And so I walk along, I go through the A's, I go through the B's, I get to the C's, and sure enough, there's a clock for Will, you know, Will Coley. And that's sort of interesting. And then I keep walking, I get to the K's, and I go, okay, yeah, I wonder if I got a clock here. Well, I go to the K's, and yeah, there's a clock for Dave Kimberly, got that. And I keep walking down, and I get to the S's, and there's one empty space there, one where there is no clock. And the name there is Jerry Sanders. For some people, that you're connecting with this. So anyway, so I figure, well, Jay, I hope the paperwork's done by now. So I go back to St. Peter, and St. Peter says, "Hey, David, everything's squared away. You're ready to come on in. We got everything set up for you." And says, "Hi, thank you so much, St. Peter. I'm so happy. May God be praised. I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus." I says, I got one question. He said, "Well, what's that?" He said, "What are all these clocks?" And St. Peter said, "Oh, well, that's how we keep track of everybody's sin. You know, and when someone sins, the minute hand moves 1 minute. And so that's how we keep track of everybody." So I said, "Well, you know Jerry Sanders?" I said, "Oh, yeah, we know Jerry." I said, "How? I saw that. I saw Will Coley. I know him. I saw mine. But how come there's no clock there for Jerry Sanders?" He said, "Oh, yeah, we have his in the back office. We use it as a fan." That's a little unfair. Jerry and I are friends on Facebook. He's not here to defend himself, but I have a little fun at his expense. Well, I bring you greetings. I bring you greetings from believers in Jesus and other communities. I bring you greetings from the believers, from many believers in Massillon, Ohio, where I recently concluded a 20-year ministry. So along with you this morning are lifting up the one who created us, who loves us, and who sent his son to die for us. I bring you greetings from other believers throughout Ohio. What a joy it is to see God's people gather. The Apostles' Creed calls it the communion of saints. To like yourselves, behold him who loves us so much. He died for you. In my own story, I was Buddhist. I grew up in New England, Congregationalism. Didn't find anything that was meaningful for me. Rejected Christianity and became Buddhist. I never at the time would have dreamt of being here. Place like this, much less doing this. And in my own story, perhaps a different occasion will permit an opportunity to describe it further. The Lord Jesus appeared to me in a dream. I'm saying that more freely now than I used to. I don't know why I didn't before. By the way, Jesus is appearing to Tibetans in their dreams. And for a Tibetan to come to Christ, Hudson Taylor said that for a Tibetan to come to Christ is like going into a dark cave by yourself and robbing a mother lion of her cubs. And it's happening now because of him and what he is doing. Well, there's that part of that story, but I bring you, by the way, it was virtually a year ago where I was with a group of believers like you, except they were Nepali believers. They were in western Nepal, in a remote area of Nepal, and there were about, I would say, not a lot larger group than this. I would say maybe 100 to 120 believers in Nepal, and the worship service was 3 hours. And there were no pews or chairs. Everyone sat on the floor for 3 hours. We stood up. By the way, they did have some a bench in the back for the older folk to sit on. And that's sort of where I sat. This white guy, this Westerner. And the temperature was 105. And for 3 hours, they praised the name of Jesus. Because in Nepal, which in 1950 had no known Christians, you don't come to Christ unless you renounce some other god. For us, the question is, I mean, in the West, the question is there a God? In most other parts of the world, and certainly in Nepal, the only nation on earth where Hinduism was the state religion, the question is, which God do you worship? And you don't come to Jesus unless you renounce something else. And by the way, in Nepal, I'll get to the scripture passage here eventually. In Nepal, 85% of the time, when someone comes to Jesus, what we call a miracle is part of their conversion. Sort of like the book of Acts a little bit, and the ministry of Jesus, I would say. So, by God's grace, that's a part of the story. So I bring you greetings from believers in Nepal and throughout the world. And God bless you for inviting me to be here, and the missions people who are gathering afterwards and share more with them. Just got an email from the organization I'm with, opening up a ministry with an Islamic people group in India. And Frank, what you did and what God is calling us to do, they want there on the front end to keep those guys in the field, because it ain't going to be easy. Just saying. Okay, well, that's that. Okay, so here is, I bring you greetings from believers literally from all over the kingdom of God. And let me now invite you to, in your mind's eye, scroll back 200 years to June 1815. Not June 28th, actually. It was June 18th, 1815. And had you been on the southern coast of England on June 18th, 1815, you might have been one of the people appointed to a watchtower set up on the English coast. It was a signal tower. And you'd be looking across the channel to the northern coast of France, and you'd be looking for sort of like a lighthouse blinking, a Morse code kind of message, to hear the results of a titanic clash of armies between Napoleon, who had spent a great deal of time at that period of time conquering countries throughout Europe. The army with which Napoleon invaded Russia was an army of 500,000. That's a very big army. So there's this titanic clash between Napoleon and the Duke of Wellington and the Prussian forces on the European continent. And here's what happened. A signal, you see across the channel, a signal starts, you know, being fired up. And you and your co-workers, you're looking there and you're deciphering it. And what you get is letter by letter, word by word, Wellington defeated. And then, but as that was coming in, there was a fog bank coming in across the English Channel, and it came in and you couldn't see it anymore, but you got the message. And literally, that news caused an economic crash in England, a stock market crash, if you will. And then what happened? You realized you had not received the entire message. And the full message was, Wellington defeated Napoleon at Waterloo. I describe that true story because I believe it is a parallel to this true story. And I believe that most of us as believers in Jesus, bless you for being here. Blessed are you, O beloved of my Father. And I have prepared a banquet for you. And goodness and joy, the Lord Jesus said. But I believe that most of us in this life, and of course we were not created for this life ultimately, most of us only get part of the message as believers. And most of us live as if we're defeated. And the reality is, He's won on the cross and through the empty tomb. And the reality is, that is the full story. And the reality is, just like here in 2 Kings 6, Elisha's servant is fearful. He lives with fear and he's freaked by the army that's around him. Do you know what that's like? To be freaked, to be fearful of the circumstances of life. You know, life happens. And with all due respect for many other devout and sincere believers who say that when you believe in Jesus, everything goes well all the time and you'll always be blessed, I'm sorry, that is not what Jesus says. Jesus says, in the world, you will have tribulation. You got tribulation going? I'd be very surprised if there was any one person here, if in a group this size there was anybody, even this size, if there was anybody here who does not know what it's like to have tribulation. The Bible says we can expect that. Jesus says we can expect that. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. For I have overcome the world, Jesus says. And my friends, that's what I see. Yet further, in the grace, gift, and call that God has placed upon me and Joanne, not only such as His grace has permitted in our lives and ministry, but literally throughout the world, is people who know Him and the power of His resurrection, who want to become like Him in His death. Philippians chapter 3. Oh, do you want to become like Him in His death? Maybe that's why believers in Nepal, for example, see the power of God in a way that perhaps, oh dear, I dare not issue a judgment because I only judge myself. But in a way that is less true of believers here in this country. Just saying, if you want to know Him and the power of His resurrection, if we want to know what it is to live with Him in life and power, you got to die to self. So the Apostle Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now, if I can have, can I have the previous panel here, Sam? Look at verse 16. Do not be afraid. I invite you to go through the Bible and look at all the times when somebody in the Bible, the Lord, through a prophet, Jesus, or somebody, or an angel, says to a human being, do not be afraid. Oh my goodness, we could look at Jesus, John 14. Don't be afraid. Okay, Last Supper. Yes, it ain't going to go nice. Apparently, he feels that way right now. Yes, I'm going to die, he'd been telling them. I'm going to be betrayed. But do not be afraid. Whether you're going in for an operation, whether you lose your job, whatever it may be, or you haven't gotten the report back yet from your doc about what that lump or that something else is, do not be afraid. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And I'll bet if you did that, if you went through the Bible and looked at those passages where this message is repeated, oh my goodness, what encouragement it would be for you. And I bet you and I would live differently. Most of what Freud said, I do not agree with, but one thing that Freud said that I do agree with, he said, all fear is ultimately fear of death. And along with Henry Ward Beecher, a Congregationalist, who, by the way, persuaded England not to side with the Confederacy during the Civil War, that's a story, I would agree with Henry Ward Beecher, who said that the most wonderful moment for the believer is the last breath they take in this life and see him face to face. Yes. Just saying. And everything, I'm simply quoting Romans 8:28. All things, everything works for the good for those who love God and are called to his purpose. Do you believe that? Do you believe that everything that happens in your life, that everything that has happened in your life, that everything that's happening right now in your life works for the good? Amen. You may not see the purpose of it. You may not understand it. It may be so painful for you that you may cry out, been there, done that, Lord, where are you? Jesus, been there, done that. Lord, where are you? You may not understand the purpose, but there is. And by the way, he is. He's there. He knows. He's been there, done that. Amen. And by the way, on Sunday morning, the tomb was empty. And that is why it's worth, let me put it this way, worth your time to be here. Lord bless you. That is why, by the way, I think it's great. Dudes, good to see you. Sam, bless your heart for your ministry and for your testimony. That was a blessing to me. And I love red hair. I really like that. That is so cool. And I got to say, the body of believers where I just concluded 20 years of ministry, kids would walk in and it was multicolored, red and green and blue, and who cares? Praise the Lord, we're here for him. And he loves us. Amen. Amen. And that is why it is worth not only your time, but also your life to look to him and him alone. Because he is who he is. By the way, he created you. And by the way, every moment is a miracle. This moment is a miracle. It's by his power. It's by his word. Any one of us could drive out of the parking lot and leave this life at any time. Each moment is a miracle because he is who he is and he created everything and his grace is so incredible that we were black, not merely dark brown, black. And he's washed us clean because he's our daddy and he loves us and he forgives us. We just have to clean up for the banquet if we want to be there. Bless you. Do not be afraid. Now, I have an outline here, and haven't even begun it yet. So let me just offer another thought or two, and then close with prayer, I guess. And then we'll sing. Let's see. Don't be afraid. Can we go to the next panel, please, Sam? And Elisha prayed. By the way, the very end of verse 17, the chariots of fire. Anybody familiar with the movie Chariots of Fire? Only a couple people. This is the verse from which Chariots of Fire, the movie, got its name. Eric Liddell, if I recall, 1927 Olympics. And lost the opportunity to obtain an Olympic gold medal at the Olympics because he felt constrained not to compete on the Sunday. And the name of that movie is Chariots of Fire. Great flick. You know, I don't even know if it's available. Might be available on Netflix or something. I don't know. But it's worth watching. So that's where that came from. Anyway, and Elisha prayed. Now, I can, in his name and for his glory, offer to you an exhortation. What happens here in Parkman Congregational Church in the next chapter of its life and ministry? Yeah, in part, you have a new pastor. Great. Good guy. Support him. Pray for him. And you know what? If he goofs up and you're really angry at him, tell him instead of everybody else. That's the number one strategy that Satan uses to knock off the officers, by the way. It's called gossip. And its worst form, it's called slander. There's a lot in the Bible about that stuff. But what the witness I'd like to bear, the witness I'd like to offer is, the reality is, what happens, in part, will be a function of the servant whom God has called into your midst, along with you other servants, you fellow servants. We're all there. God has a call for you, too. You know what it is? Pray about it. He'll tell you. Got a job for you. But what happens here by the hand and the power of God will be a function of prayer. That's it. That's what God has placed upon my heart. May his name be praised. I just have to say this. There's a difference between church growth and evangelism. When a church grows and nobody's praying, what's that? And I'll be honest, the reason I do, taught in Russia for 7 years, I could go on with all that stuff. Is to keep me from getting hoodwinked by our materialistic culture. To help me realize that who I am is not a function of how much money I earn, what kind of car I drive, how big my house is, or my stock portfolio. Don't have one, by the way. Because that's how we define ourselves. And how does he feel? How does Jesus feel when we define ourselves by what he's created and given to us rather than him? Oops. And we have done that in this culture big time. And I thank you, Lord, for helping me to keep my own mind and heart, I pray, in alignment and in tune with you, so that it's you rather than me. So that it's you rather than the programming and even the music, which, by the way, is very good. That music, that was worship for me today. Bless you. So it's him. So pray. That's it. Let's pray. And Lord God, thank you so much for this moment here in the life and ministry of Elisha and his servant. And Lord, teach us to pray. Teach this body to pray, Lord. Yet further, you know, Lord, the most wonderful ones here who pray fervently and diligently. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the intercessors, for the prayers that are in this body. And thank you for that spiritual gift of intercession that you do bestow within your body, precisely so that your people do seek your face and hand in prayer. And Lord, may that yet further be here in this body. For your goodness and your glory, because, Lord, you love everybody. You love the world. That's why you sent your Son. And everybody who's not sitting in a place like this morning, especially you love them. The 99 sheep who are with a flock, they're fine. But if there's one sheep out there, you go. You've gone. Thank you. And issue that call yet further, Lord, upon this body. Thank you that in all things you work for good. Thank you for what this body has been through, because there is the Spirit here to look to you and to move forward. May that, Lord, be the reality. And may you continue to anoint this body for your glory. And I thank you, Lord, for by your grace, should a time come in the future when I'm here, for the new believers that will be here who've professed your Son because of the faith and faithfulness of your people here, following you and fulfilling your call. Thank you, Lord. And so may it be in Jesus' name. Amen.